Amen. Behind every successful woman is a good man.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Sorry. Amen. Honestly, while she went for the interview, let me tell you, the interview was upstairs, I was downstairs, and I kept praying. Prayer is powerful, friend. Amen. That's your duty to your wife, your family, and to your church and community, is to be a supporter, to encourage, to believe in people, friend. Amen. Thank you for that, and I thank you for the investment you put into the lives. Every time she sits down and rests, I said, be careful, you got to pass. Because when I studied, I'm a fanatic at studies. When I do studies, I don't like credits. I don't like distinction. I like to see a HD there. Amen. So, no, but she's a good student. Let me tell you, she works hard and study, but you have done well, and I believe God has a purpose for your investment. We may not see the returns or the dividends today, but someday when you sit up in heaven's glory, you may be exposed to all that you invested in. I believe that. Amen? Amen. This morning, if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Jude. Don't turn first. Let me ask you, do you know where Jude is? Amen. It's in between John 3 and Revelation. One day I was teaching Jude and I asked a student, I said, who wrote Jude? He said, the Beatles. And I said, say again? Who wrote Jude? He said, Pastor Miso, the Beatles. I said, no, I'm not asking you the song. I'm asking you who wrote the book of Jude. Eh? So it's not from the Beatles, all right? This is Jude. Amen? Hallelujah. Jude, I said, guy, this kid, sometimes they got funny answers, but it's out of their innocence. And I said, how do you know a song, Jude? He said, my dad listens to it. I said, good on you. Tell your dad not to listen to Jude anymore, but to listen to Jesus. But this morning, I want to take this learning from Jude. The reason I brought this out for Jude is this. The year is coming to an end. You know, I have been in ministry umpteen years, and I know about visions, I know about yearly plans, but every time we vision and we plan, we take a new season. What about the old season? Did we accomplish? If we did, how far has the accomplishment been? 70% of last year's vision got into your life? Vision statements are not just lights for you to chase. They are meant for you to develop in you a change. And I always wonder, 52 weeks a year, you come to an end. All the good sermons, the good songs, the good testimonies, the prophecies, the prayer, how much of it is deposited in you to go to next year? Or you walk into next year empty. Refill me again. Fill me again. How much of this year, how much of truth is in you? How much of that learning has transformed you? Thanks, Nathan, for bringing that out. How much has transformed you? If you look in that mirror, James says the word of God is... If I look in that mirror, I say, mirror, mirror on the wall, look at this clown. Have I changed? Have I been better than last year? Or am I the same? That vision didn't accomplish anything in my life. It was just good to be there. How much of your life changed? Do you know out there in the world, it's a rapid changing world? It's changing rapidly. It's moving so fast. It's passing you. It's changing. And many of us are not changing, but just remaining stagnant. Anything that is stagnant dies. It breeds and it dies. It breeds disease. It breeds something bad and it dies. Are you moving? We are coming to the end. I think by Donald Trump's choice of Jerusalem, it's the key that is unlocking the things that God is going to pour on planet Earth and begin Judgment Day. Because Jerusalem, if you know, has always been the eternal capital of the Christian faith, of the Jewish nation, and of the kingdom of God. And if the world is moving to that end, how far behind are you that you may be left? And Jude is a very good book. Starting from the first part, Jude calls himself a slave of Jesus and a brother to James. But in hierarchy or in genealogy, Jude is the brother of Jesus. He's Jesus' brother. But he says, I'm a slave to him. Why does he say I'm a slave? I am a learning one. I learn from my brother. I'll obey him. I'll obey what he says. Huh? And James writes a powerful book. This book has to be read by you guys, friend. Because James is the book before Revelation. He is almost the last word before judgment. Like Auntie Anne said, I'll be there before. I'll give them the last hope before they cross. I'll give them the word of eternal life that they may grant them. I'll give them everything they need before they cross that line. Because once you cross that line, it's not coming back, friend. No coming back. No chance. No chance. Eternity awaits you there. And Jude writes this. Just a few chapters, a few verses only. And Jude writes with two intentions. One, he wants to warn you. You, be careful. There are false teachers coming and distorting the word and disclaiming things that is going to hurt your faith in God. And you will get swayed. You will get distorted. Or you just give up. False teachers. Look at today. You go to podcasts. You go. There's a lot of teachings going on. Some of us, listen, I'm not being, some of us have become good students to our pastor, good students to our teacher, lousy students to the Word of God. We hear what people say. Good, they say good. But the call of God is not to look there. It's to look to God. Be careful. I know people who don't read the Bible. They learn from preachers, from teachers. Try go and do your uni course. Don't read the assignments. Don't read the book. Just listen to lectures. You won't pass, friend. Even though they are good. Because they are giving you snippets. Snippets. They're not giving you the whole lot. Isn't that true? Secondly, when Jude wrote this, one is to warn you about false. Number two, he wanted to encourage Christians. Listen for this alone. To stand firm on your faith in God. Stand firm. Stand firm. You know, I've been having a lot of problems with sleeping just lately. And yesterday, one pastor told me, Pastor Miso, you got a monkey's mind. And I said, you call monkey's mind? I had monkey brains. Monkey mind. I said, why monkey mind? He said, your mind, while you want to sleep, is jumping here, jumping there, jumping everywhere. You can't sleep until you bring it down to calmness. And I thought, maybe some of us are monkey Christians. We are monkeys. We're jumping here, swinging from this extreme to that extreme. The wind blows. We are going like monkeys, apes. But we are not firm in anything of God. That's why last week I said, remember, friend, hope. We need that hope in God. And Jude addresses it. And I thought the closing of the year as we close. This is my personal journey. I journal this every year from the day I got saved. It's every year before I close. I don't believe in doing resolutions. I don't believe. I'm not a resolution person. But I like to do review. I review. And in that reviewing, I do recommendations. Listen, in that review, I recommend what I should do next year. Not resolutions. The day I do resolutions, the next minute I break it. And I get prosecuted now by God. So don't I review. January, this was my life. I moved February, March, April, May. Did I go this way? Did I go that way? Did I go? Or have I kept onto that walk? That I have been firm and faithful. That I kept to the Lord. I kept reading the word. That I'm building into maturity. Wouldn't a company do that? Are you doing that to your life? And Jude warns us. He said they're false teachers, friends. Not too long ago, I heard somebody argue with me. He said, Pastor Miso, he said, you are too passionate about the Bible. And that's your problem. He said, because you are passionate, it distorts your rationality. Wow, big words, man. Passion distorts rationality. Wow. I said, so if I'm not a passionate guy, I'm a lazy bum, I'll be very rational. Are you saying that? I said, no, for me, passion dictates and control my rationality and the things I do in life because I'm passionate. He said, you think everything you say is Jesus? He said, Jesus is not the way. There are many ways. False teaching, number one. False teaching. Jesus is not the way. What did the Bible say? I am the way. He that wants to go to the Father must go through me. There's a lot. Some of them are so subtle. It sounds biblical. It has biblical connotation, but it is false. The only way to detect is to know the Word of God. Amen? The only way to overcome false is not to fight it, is to discover the truth. And Jude is warning. He said, guys, the church is under assault. The Christian faith is taking its worst beating. The Word of God is being challenged publicly, legally, even in churches, even the Word of God has been torn apart. Where do you stand in this? But be careful, there's so many, and today a lot of Christians are substituting Bible verse memory with power phrases. John Maxwell says this. It's all good, but what do you say? So Jude writes this. Jude is very passionate. When he writes this, he uses very strong words, very strong references, and he's coming hard and strong because he loves you. Amen? I want to take the learning, I want to take the teaching today from Jude. There's only one chapter, Jude verse 20. Listen to what, if you got your Bibles, go to Jude 20. He said, but you, dear friends, build each other up in your most holy faith. I like the first thing, most holy faith. Therefore, there can be faith that is not powerful enough. Eh? He said, in the most holy faith, meaning in the highest faith. What's the highest faith in God? Faith. But I have faith. But my faith is a swaying faith. Some of us are called fair weather faith. When the thing going is good, hallelujah. When the thing takes a bit of a rock, we start to murmur. And then when it takes a fall, we face God. Your faith is not built on the whole. Think of this faith Jesus had. Listen, Jesus came through the Father. He came and he was born. And his faith on God was to do the will of his Father. Amen? Isn't it? In the garden of Gethsemane. Remember that garden? When Jesus went, he knew the Father had turned the face. But his faith is in the Father. But yet he never lost faith in the Father. His faith was, I know whatever I go through, my Father will take care of me. It's a faith. He said, are you building your faith? If you don't build your faith, you cannot encourage another person. If your foundation is not strong, you cannot add another flow on top. You and that flow will go down. He said, build your faith. How do you build your faith? By reading the Word of God. That's the easiest yet the hardest. That's the simplest yet most profound. To read the Word of God. Read the Word of God, friend. For when he came, John said, the Word of God became flesh. Hallelujah. God became flesh. So when people talk about Christmas, always remember, the Word promised in Isaiah became flesh in the Gospels. Jesus was born. But are you strong in your faith? Or are you building faith from what people are experiencing and people are telling you, which is good, but are you building your own? You know, you come to church every Sunday. Good, you've done something good. But let me tell you, coming to church is not what God has ordained for us. Hebrews 10, 24, 25 said, forsake not the assembling. Why? Why do you assemble together? That you can stir and spur one another. What do you? When we come is to encourage, right? That's the purpose of it. But to build your faith, you need solitaire time, solitude time. Sit down and read the Word and say, God, build me, Lord, build me. Every bit of that Word I put is building my foundation in you. Let me tell you, today we have scholars of the Word of God. You heard that? Scholars. Scholasticism has come into the church. We got scholars. But we don't have scholars in the Word of God. We know of God, but we are not in God. And a scholar who is in God is called a servant. A servant of God. I love studying. I did Bible school. I was studying and teaching in Bible school. I learned, but you know, all that learning had not changed one bit of my life until I allowed that learning to change my life within me. Otherwise, it made me heavy on the top. I would engage in debates. I was the chairman of a school debate team. But God has not given me the knowledge to debate. He's given me that word to change my life. And as my life changed, I can change each one of your life. He said, look at it, friend. This is what James is saying. He said, listen, guys, determine today as the year comes to an end and you look next year. Determine. Determine is make a self-evaluation and say, I want to do this. I want to build my faith. I want to build my faith. I want to read the Bible. I want to know God more. The more you know Him, the more of Him is in you. Amen? The more you become like Him. The Word of God. I've gone through Bible school and I'm sharing with Pastor Ken. Students who were top in school studies have fallen along the way. Or have got distorted and deviated from the truth and peddled a slighter or more different version of the Bible. But keep to the faith of God. Amen? Keep to God. Build your faith, friend. At the end of the day, coming to church, if you are not building, it's a waste of time. It's just like you pay money to go to the gym. And you do, but nothing happens. You pump, 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 but nothing happens. You lift, 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 but nothing grows. But you pay, you pay, you pay. Maybe you're not doing the right exercise. Maybe you're not keeping the right diet. Or maybe you shouldn't be in the gym. You know, my kids, next year, one of my record, next year I'm going back to the gym with my kids. Come, my kids, I love the gym. I grew in a gym. I used to have a gym in my office, just behind my office. I opened the back door. I sponsored by World Gym, $40,000 worth of equipment. Because I work in a drug rehab, and one of the rehab programs I have is bodybuilding. Not muscular, but building your body. For the temple of God is this body. If this body is not healthy, then that temple is not in a healthy place. And part of it, besides the spiritual building, we do bodybuilding every day. 1.5 hours pumping, 1.5 hours soccer. Until I came to Australia. Well, life was good. Hallelujah. Really, I gym, I pump. I love pumping. My dad's a ladder pusher. My father's a boxer. They call it ladder pushing. My dad's a boxer. And I love, we were all, my family love exercise. Because my father, when I became a Christian, I brought this kind of mentality across. I used to study. Yes, I studied the Word of God diligently. I could remember scriptures, sets of it. I learned and I put so much of intensity. You know why? Because I believe in God. And I wanted to know Him more and more. Would you make that your recommendation for next year? I my name, will endeavor build my faith in God. For by faith, without faith, you cannot serve God. You cannot please God, friend. Amen? Your faith is your foundation. You know, Hebrews says, faith is a substance. Right? If you read the King James Version, and if you study English, substance is two words in one. Sub and stands. Isn't it? The sub means underground, your foundation. And your stance is your above. If your foundation is shaky, your stand is also. But if your foundation is firm, you're firm. So build your foundation. That's faith. That's the word substance. Something sub below. But if below is not built, you got no foundation. You are just pretending facade. It's going to fall one day. Jude is saying the days are coming close to the end. Judgment is about to be poured out onto the world. You are going to stand before it. Are you prepared? Listen, God made us in all the creation as the potter made it, to be the masterpiece. Are you prepared to meet your master? Keep your faith going. Read your Bible. I joke. I'm a joker. But I'm a very serious student of the Word of God. I don't engage in debates. I, I pick myself up and walk away. I don't like debating about the Word of God. Well, nobody wins. We both get exhausted. We both get angry with one another. We come back next week, we start again. I cut and I walk. Because you know why? It's not about winning the debate. Amen? I'm not going to win the debate. You can win all you want. Hallelujah. Go for it. Sometimes it's better to lose than to win. You lose the skirmishes and the battles, but you win the war. You can win all the skirmishes and battles and lose the war. Somebody said, choose your battles. Choose your battles, guys. Don't fight. Just build yourself. Because you know why? The Bible tells there's a greater enemy fighting you. Paul called it the power of darkness and principle. You can't see. You cannot see. The only thing you fight with him is your faith in God and the Spirit of God. So don't fight. Just pick your battles. Study the Word of God. Whenever you have time, sit down with somebody, encourage them in their journey with God. That's investing your life, amen? Just as you invest substance into her life, she invests her life into another. It's an investment that is ongoing. We all have a part in everybody's life, amen? We put it. Because Jesus invested the greatest portion into your life and my life, amen? Build your faith, church. Build your faith. I know you love singing. All these are good. But these are the things that are not going to sustain you. The faith in God sustains you. Amen? Some time ago, I heard somebody say this. He said, Pastor Miso, those were the days when you graduated from Bible school. A good church is built on a good pastor who preaches well. Those were the days we believe. Huh? You ask Pastor Calvin. Today, he said this. We don't need preachers. We don't need the Word. We have a good music team. We can build a good church. You know why? The world is looking for the attraction of the flesh. Boom, boom. Let's pump it up, man. I was at a church in Sydney. They were opening up a new auditorium. They had about 400 members. The sound system came from Germany, $500,000. When they pumped it, I told the pastor, I said, man, I'm going behind. He said, why? I said, I feel a heart attack coming on. Serious? Boom, boom, boom. The chair was going backward. Boom, boom. I'll be back out of the hall. Serious, I'm not joking. And I walked and I told the pastor, I said, I suffer from a heart attack. This thing will bring a heart attack on. And I said, why? $500,000 on a solid sound. I mean, Germans do good. I'm proud of them, man. These Germans are good. 500. And you know what? People were coming because the music. But it's not a sustaining thing, friend. Because tomorrow somebody buys another Japanese set and makes it good. People move across. What we want is people hungry for the Word of God. Who will say, pump it on with the Word, not with the beat. Boom, boom, boom. The Word of God, friend, honestly. I go around churches and my first evaluation, I talk to people, is I assess how much they know of the Word. If you are a child of the Word, you should know a lot about the Word. Amen? If you're a musician, you know everything about music. But if you say, I'm a musician and you don't know the basics, then something is wrong. Or you're falsely claiming to be a musician. Maybe you only carry the guitar for someone. Isn't that true? But if you are a child of God, man, make the faith your substance. Make faith of God your cornerstone you build your life on. Amen? Jude is warning them. He said, because there's so many things. People are lovers of themselves. Sin, what, homosexuality. Things are coming in. Are you building your faith? I tell you, friend, this is my experience. When you are a man of faith, you're not a judgmental person. I'm not a judgmental. I work with different people. I know I'm not. Last week or so, somebody said, Pastor, or yesterday, the young man said, Pastor, he said, I really love you. I said, why? He said, you're such a nice person down, but when you're up, you're preaching, you don't pull your punches. I said, because I love you. I love you. Because I believe in the Word of God is the only hope for you, man. There's so much of sin out there. There are sin, friend, that wants to. And because you and I cannot understand, we lose our faith and we get angry with God because of somebody's sin. Isn't that true? God, why is homosexual? Why the same sin? Shut about that. Just get to know God. Amen? Don't worry about that. You think you care for the world, he doesn't care. Hey, he cared for the world, that's why he came. Hallelujah. He said, I love you guys. You won't die for that, I died for that. Amen. So why are you making such a hoo-ha? It's my deal. You stay close to me, you stay firm, you build your faith. Leave that to me, I'll take care. The battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. Give him a clap offering. It's his battle. Keep your faith in God. Don't let circumstances affect your faith. If it affects, it must draw you closer to God, not away from God. Build your faith. You know, when I work with drug addicts, I don't care. I never care about their addiction. I care about bringing the word of God into their life. They say, but Pastor, I'm struggling. I say, listen, the more you feel God, the more you feel God, the more you feel God, all the drugs overflow and gone. But if I focus on the drug, nothing is going in. Just focus on God. That's how I do drug work. I just bang them with the word of God. And every graduate under my care, before he graduates from the program, which is 2 years, he comes out and minimum 200 scripture memory verses, I'll ask them. Ask Auntie. And at the end, right, they were telling Pastor Miso, there's so much of word in me. There's less space for drugs now. Amen? Just build your faith, friend. Build your faith. Teach your kids, build their faith in God. Whatever the world is going through, no, I can't control. The world is too big for me, man. I can't do it. But with God, nothing is impossible. Build your faith. If you know the Gospel of John, when Jesus was resurrected and he met his disciples and he was talking, and one of the disciples leaned on him, and everybody said, oh, he's the favorite. Hey, maybe this is this. Maybe. Jesus said, listen, you don't worry. You just follow me. Put your eyes on me and go. Amen? Build your faith in God, friend. When you have faith in God, you don't get involved in petty issues in church. When you have faith in God, you don't see the differences in people's life. Amen? You're not interested. I don't care what differences you have. I want to build the Word of God. Because the Word of God has the changing power to change your life. Hallelujah. Amen? Number two that Jude wanted to address is in verse, if you go down to verse 22, he says this, huh? He says, and you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Besides building, show mercy. You know what's grace? Grace is this, huh? You don't deserve, but I give you. You know what is mercy? You deserve it, but I held it back. You deserve judgment, but because I'm a merciful God, I took that judgment away. How many of us are so judgmental on everybody and people? Can you keep your judgments to yourself? I like this verse. Whenever I get into that mode of judging, he said, the manner you judge that person, I, Yahweh, will judge you the same. So you are the benchmark of your own judgment. Think about it. Let me ask you now, don't put up here. How many of you sitting here got no sin? How many of you sitting here think you're perfect? We all have shortcomings. Don't exploit another person's weakness. We're all weak, friend. We're all weak. We're all broken people. I was lost. I've been found. I may be a Christian, but still inside of me. Paul says in Romans 7:15, the things I should do, I don't do. The things I should not do, I do. And he answers it in later on. He said, the reason I do and I don't do is because deep within me, listen, there's a war between good and bad, carnality and spiritual. The one I feed will rule my life. Don't judge people, friend. I got weakness. Paul says better. He said, I boast in my weaknesses. Don't boast in your goodness. How many of you dare boast? I'm a sinner. No, no. We say he's a sinner. I'm good. I'm good, gooder, gooders. But I'm just like you, friend. Let's save the world. A lot of people are hurt in church. You know, the church is a place where we have most hurts. Though we portray it's all okay, no. It's a hospital, a spiritual hospital for sick people. Just sick people. We are sick somewhere, friend. It's okay. Yesterday I was at the church and the pastor said, it's okay, we quarrel, we fight, but we all part of that family. Family have disputes, amen? But you love your family. You fight for them at the end of the day. blood is thicker than water. Let's not be judgmental. Let's show mercy to somebody struggling. Let's be merciful, friend. Lest you become judgmental and God himself revokes his mercy upon your life. There's a story in the New Testament of a boss who God gave him, you know, he owed so much money and God said, okay, I'll let you go. And he goes out and he strangles his worker who owes him money. And said, if you don't pay me, I'm going to put you in prison. And the word gets to the master and the master calls him back and said, I showed you mercy and you cannot show mercy to someone. Be merciful, church. Take away the judgmental eye. Christians, somebody said it, Christians should walk around not with magnifying glasses, looking for mistakes. Huh? Ah, that fellow got this. But rather with telescopic lenses, we see the bigger picture. We see the whole scenario that God has. Until Jesus comes back, or until I cross over that line, I'll always be a sinner, saved by the grace of God. When I cross over that line, I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a saint in the grace of God. Be merciful, church. Make this your recommendation that I'll show mercy to someone in church that is struggling. Just someone. Just an ounce of mercy a day. And if you would every day, in 1 year, there's 365 ounces of mercy. That's the purpose of a church, and that's why Jude is warning. He said, otherwise, we destroy ourselves and we send our own loved ones to hell. The world doesn't need to send. Satan doesn't need. We self-destruct whatever God is building. Oh, that's sad, man. You know, when I became a Christian, I got 8 other brothers besides me and 1 sister. My sister is the jewel in the family. I'm actually one of her self-appointed bodyguards. Yeah, my wife will tell you the story. I appointed to be her bodyguard to make sure she chose the right guy for as a husband. If I didn't like, I'll send him away. If he didn't go away, I'll send him to a hospital to be helped. And I love my sister, and I had a brother just above me. We were like buddies. Huh? We controlled the school playground. Serious. At any given time in my year, 4 brothers were in the year, 4 years, 4 brothers. But the 2 of us controlled the playground. We controlled the tuck shop. People's food also, we had extortion on it. Huh? I was a good guy. That was then my bad part of me. Yeah. Thirdly, even on the play field, the soccer, I play rugby, man, I call the shots. If you take me down, be prepared in the changing room. Something may go wrong with you. Some accident may happen. But and the day I got saved, my brother became my worst nightmare. And I used to box. There came a time in my faith I wanted to put my faith and tell my brother, let's go out. Let's hit one another out of this. So my brother became the torment. The thorn, he tormented me. He mocked me publicly. He mocked me for my Christian faith. Till all my other siblings joined in that chorus of mocking. But one day, this brother went into a crisis. And you know who opened the door to help him? In my mind, I was saying, God, logically, I'm taking trouble into my house. But spiritually, you're going to do something for him, Lord. And we took him in and we lived with them and helped them. Little did we know the way of grace and mercy rubbed into their lives. They were in financial, they were in relationship problems, they were heaps. And one day, I get a call from my brother. He said, can I bring a few friends home? And immediately my mind go back to the past. What kind of a friends? Oh, gosh. I got to get my boxing gloves out. And then we said, okay. And he brought a few friends. And one of the friends he brought was a pastor friend of mine. And I said, what are you doing here? He said, you'll find out later. Then my brother shared a testimony. God came in. And he attributed it to our lives we cared. And then we dawned upon the little mercies we showed him. Amounted to the salvation of his life. Mercy. And today, my brother is a fiery pastor who lived 20 years right in the center of the Gulf War. He had a church before coming. He had a church of 25,000 members. I even haven't had a church of 2005. 25,000. And he came, God opened the door. He came to Perth. He runs a church there. Huh? A little bit of mercy will change the life of another person. It's not about preaching the word. It's about preaching a life. Show mercy, friend. Show mercy to your loved ones, your family. Sometimes we don't understand. I like the other day Pastor Kelvin showed the marbles. Remember the marbles? About maybe we are just one marble away from helping that person. And we turn away. We were on the threshold of a change. Just tarry. I like the word in the Bible. Tarry. Tarry. Press on. Have mercy. Number three, the days are coming to an end. Jude is saying, have mercy. Number three, Jude is telling us in verse 23. Look at verse 23. It says, rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show them mercy to still others, but do so with good caution, hating the sin and contaminate their life. He says, rescue. Amen. We are in the SES. We go rescue people. Amen. Get your gear ready. We are out to rescue. Rescue. That's what Jude said. The days are coming to an end. Hey, let's rescue. Not drown them. Somebody said, let's populate the kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of Satan. Rescue them. As a Christian, have you through this year rescued someone? The question that we will be asked when we stand before God is, what did you do with the talents I've given you? Did you multiply or did you hide it, sit on it and try to hatch it? You stand there, he'll ask you, how many lives did you touch? How many lives did you speak hope into? How many a sinner that was slipping down or spiraling down did you snatch? I know you love the word. That's what in the Revelation, I know you love the word. I know you love me. But what have you done with that love for me? Have you manifested it in a life-changing situation? You know, when I finished with the drug work and came to church, I had one lingering fear in my heart. And I used to share with my, I said, this is the fear that I had. I can come to church honestly on Sunday. Listen, I don't even pray. I don't even read the Bible. I don't have to talk to God. I can preach you a good sermon. But when I worked on the street, every night I go out on a Saturday, I go with fear. What if I get stabbed? What if I don't make it back? I got 3 kids and a wife. And I walk out 11:45, we pray, and we go out. It's a matter of life and death. I've seen counselors get stabbed, helping somebody and somebody knife you from the back. Because when people are going through withdrawal, the drug addict doesn't want to be helped. Because you're short changing him, he wants a thrill. And while you're helping, somebody perceives you're robbing. They knifed him with a knife right through his neck. And that's why we go out 2 by 2. How biblical? One pray, one keep a watch. And you know, I used to go out with fear every time I go. Saturday nights, that's when the events begin. I go up to Maui. I go to Footscray. I go to Dandenongs. I go out with fear. Springvale. I go out with fear. Even though I'm big, I got martial arts. I still fear, friend. And then I thought when I came to church, who dare hammer me in church? Who will knife me in a church? Who then knife me? When I was in my church, ask anyone, I said, no, Pastor Mizzo, you're too big. And then I thought, that's how we lose that sensitivity of the urgency of reaching out to people's life. It's comfortable. Church is very comfortable. Hallelujah. So good. Oh, hallelujah. I'm floating on the hallelujahs. But when you're on that street, oh man, I tell you, fear. I don't know about you, but fear is very gripping. It paralyzes you because we go out to rescue someone. In that rescue, your life is at risk. Amen? Think about all the, you know, I really respect the firemen in Australia. Man, you look at the fires and these guys are there battling it for who? For you. For the safety. Man, they are good Christians in that sense. How many of us are battling for a soul that's going to hell? How many of you are travailing in tears and on your knee? God, save my family member. We are a rescue team. Always on call. Amen? 24/7, man. Always ready. Hallelujah. Are you ready? You have your equipment well? You know the word of God? You know your scriptures to deliver when you meet the person? Are you ready? Thirdly, we are brave. Even if I die, I have but one life. Even if I take this one life away, I want this one life to be impacted in all other lives. Jude gives us a real warning to the church. As we flip the page, we go to Revelation. And he said, be careful, church. We are a rescue party. I love rescue, you know. You know, I carry 2 splits on my eye. Because when I help drug, I only work with hardcore, 10 years to 15 years and above. I don't work with druggies or just playing with drugs. They're not ready for help. We only take hardcore people who are caught into it. Huh? And I always have a room, a padded room, where I put the addict in for withdrawal. And sometimes we throw the key out and I sit in the room 2 days with that person. Huh? And have you seen somebody go through withdrawal? Somebody as big as Azaha go through withdrawal? I carry the split on my eye. I've been beat. That's my wife. Because in that moment of desperation, they whip you, they carry, they do anything just to get. And we put our lives there, our body there, just to help them. That's the real frontline drug. Today, nobody does it. Everything is methadone. See a doctor. No wonder addiction is not help. I have a place. I go in. And some days I don't come. I sit there with him. I pray. While he's fighting, I'm praying. While he's cursing me, I'm praying. While he's vomiting and doing, I pray. We just pray 24/7. We are in there until we see the breakthrough come. That's a rescue team, friend. Not an administrative, a frontline rescue team. Now I'm a bit old. I don't think I can. But mama, I tell you, somebody use a pipe, a water pipe, you know, and just clip me from the back. But God is good. I have a bit of a hard head because I worked for drugging as a soul. I was sold out to just do it for them. And that's why today the best of friends I have, let me tell you, are ex-people who came from drugs and SS background, secret society. I put that life. And I thought that's the physical part. What about the spiritual part? Am I travailing for somebody's soul? Do I cry? I said, Lord, save that person. Or maybe he's not my brother. It's okay, somebody's son. But he's my brother in Christ. He's the same creator, Jesus. Would you travail? The nation is going down. Instead of finger pointing at what's going on, let's travail for the people who made this decision. Because they do not know what they're going to face. That's why every time people talk, Pastor Vincent, what do you think about same-sex marriage? It's okay. Huh? I say, it's okay. Because in the book of Old Testament, the people of Israel wanted a king. They went to God. God said, you want? Go heaven. And then the king tortured them in there. So I feel this generation has asked what they want. And God has answered their prayer. Go for this. So why quarrel and fight? My concern now is I pray God that their eyes will open. When people live in darkness, then they yearn for light. Amen? But my duty is not to speak over them. My duty is to travail to God. God, be merciful. Be merciful. Don't join in the choruses of condemnation. We are all condemned. Don't join in the choruses. Don't become militant. I dislike Christian groups that become militant. I think if I want to be militant, I'll be militant in my faith. I'll fight the evil one. But rescue, friend. Would your heart really be changed for next year if God called you to be a part of the rescue team? You want the church to grow? You want to see people come to the kingdom of God, go reach out to them. That's what the mandate, that's what the eternal mandate is. Go into all the world. Go. Let's go. Let's pray for some. You know, I do this every year. I take one person from the year and I pray. I just put one person at a time. And if you have a stronger faith and good, go 2 or 3. But I always take one person and I journey. I like to journey. I'm a journeyman, eh? I journey with people. Every week in my house, they come, I journey with them. Journey and journey. I'm not a 100 meters runner. Look at my size, you know not. I love the marathon. Slowly but surely, that life is being changed. Church, that's what church is all about. Bringing change into a life that needs change. Amen? Bringing hope into a world that is in despair. bringing encouragement into a family that is in despair and struggling. Bring hope. Don't preach the gospel until you show love and mercy to someone. Don't do that. Somebody once told one of my leaders, said, you talk too much about Jesus, but I haven't seen an ounce of Jesus in you. And it really shattered this young man. Then I told him, people want to see, not hear. Think about it. Remember Thomas? What did Thomas say, doubting Thomas? Until I see, I would believe. But Jesus was telling him, Thomas, you believe, then you see. Whereas the world says, see, then I believe. But Jesus said, believe, and you will see. Amen? I hope I didn't frighten you or dampen your spirit. But you know, I love you guys. And I want to journey with you on a real journey of love. Not a superficial journey. I don't want to later say, I should have told them. I'm a person that I want you to know because I care. And if you need a journeyman, I'm here. I'm not just telling you to tell you how far. I'm telling you, if you need a journeyman, let's journey together, church. Let's journey one with another that we may cross that line together. Amen? Because God died for each one. He loves you, friend. He loves you. And I want you to know in closing, there's a part you need to know that your occupation and your vocation is also a place of ministry. You don't have to be a pastor. Or any vocation or occupation you do is your place of ministry. You don't have to preach the gospel, live the gospel. You don't have to stand up with the Bible in the office and none of that. Just let your life show how much you care for them. I was born with the gift. I like talking, Even if I'm in hospital, the nurse was treating me for the heart. She said, I'm going for a smoker. At that time, I don't know what is smoker. I thought, what is she going to do with me? She's going to pump me up. The nurse said, I'll be back 10 minutes. I'm going for a smoker. And I'm thinking now, what's a smoker? Is she going to smoke me? I don't know. I really don't know. And I'm lying down on the bed. And suddenly, 10 minutes later, she comes and she leans over me and she's doing. And I said this. I said, man, I said, you smell like a walking cigarette. She said, I just had a smoke. And I said, you work in the cardio ward, you see people, and you're not afraid about it. She said, it won't happen to me. And I thought, maybe Christians think that way. Not me, somebody. I'm okay, mate. She'll be all right. I'm okay. Be careful, friend. Take seriously. Make 2018 a year that you determine. I use this word determine. You determine. Determine requires effort. It requires a willpower. Determining with all rationality and reasoning, I want this now. After all that, I feel this is what I want. I'm going to determine to grow in your faith. Determine to encourage one another, build one another. Determine to be a person that is there forever when anyone needs a help. I'll lend you a hand. I'm strong enough with my left hand, I can pull you out to rescue someone, church. And I tell you, if you and I put that in order, our church will grow. Because people will come. There are people, when you are drowning, you look for someone who can help you, not somebody who drowns you. Would you? Will we really determine in our hearts? Father God, I want to grow. I want to be a better servant. I want to be a better child. I want to be a better leader, Lord. I want to be a better worship. Not just for the sake of being better, but in that betterment, I can encourage another person. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Abba, Father, the days are coming to a close, Lord. As we stand on the threshold of time, Lord, we do not know when time will stand still, Lord. But one thing I know, Father God, you're the God of time.